Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
So I come tonight to give y'all about four or five things, and not going to take very long, to help you and to help us move forward. They're pretty simple, but sometimes in crisis what we need is a reminder of simple. A reminder of foundations. A reminder of the things that we know, but when you're knocked around, you're trying to get your equilibrium back. We've been knocked around this week. So the first one, and some of these, that if any of you listen to 222, you're going to get a little bit of a repeat. So I'll just warn you, because it was burning in me. Number one, focus your attention upon the Lord. Trust Him. Walk in His ways and know. Say no. That He will accomplish all He has purposed. He can't do anything else. Now, I will say before I read this scripture, it will either be fulfilled in our lifetime, or we'll go around this mountain again, but God will have His way. I don't want to miss it. I was born for this. Psalm 37, 1 through 9. And this is Passion Translation, I think. It's either Passion or The Voice, because I was in both today. So, anyway. Don't follow after the wicked ones. And I'm just going to say this right here. Don't listen to mainstream media. That's following the wicked ones. That's violating Psalm 1. And listening to the counsel of the enemy. Shut it off. Don't follow after the wicked ones or be jealous of their wealth. Don't think for a moment they're better off than you. They and their short-lived success, remember, short-lived success is from eternity's perspective, not necessarily ours. Keep it straight. They and their short-lived success will soon shrivel up and quickly fade away like grass clippings in the hot sun. Let it come quickly, Lord. Let the sun shine bright and hot. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in His eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure, feasting on His faithfulness. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life. That is a key right there. Make God the delight and the pleasure of your life. And He will provide for you what you desire most. I'll tell you what I desire most is the smile of His favor. Personally, on this house, and on our nation. That's what matters most. It's the smile of His favor. The embrace of His love. The fellowship of communing with Him day in and day out. Everything else fades in comparison to that. I can hear His voice and know His embrace, all is well. This is key for us. Give God the right to direct your life. Turn over the keys of your car. Turn over the steering wheel of your life. He's not your co-pilot. How many of you remember that? Those bumper stickers, God is my co-pilot. It doesn't work for Him to be your co-pilot. He needs to be in complete control of your life. Give it to Him. Give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust Him along the way, you'll find He pulled it off perfectly. Huh, isn't that great? He will appear as your righteousness as sure as the dawning of the new day. He will manifest as your justice as sure and strong as the noonday sun. Quiet your heart in his presence and pray. Keep hope alive as you long for God to come through for you. And don't think for a moment that the wicked in their prosperity are better off than you. Don't think for a minute that the wicked sitting in seats of power in the world system are better off than you. Better is a day in the courts of the Lord than a day anywhere. Stay away from anger and revenge. Keep envy far from you, for it only leads you into lies. We must not allow ourselves to be provoked to anger that is of the flesh. Scripture tells us to be angry and sin not. Don't be led by your anger. Don't be led by the frustrations you feel. Keep your mouth in check by the Spirit of God. If you can't say it in a way that is edifying and a way that leads people to discovery, zip it. Just don't say anything. Don't type something real quick on Facebook. I mean, somebody got on there the other day and called me a false prophet. It took me about 3 hours before I answered. And I just simply said, all that I posted is scripture. How is that being a false prophet? She didn't answer. Verse 9, for one day the wicked will be destroyed. But those who trust in the Lord will live safe and sound with blessings overflowing. Meditate on that passage. Get it into you. Live it. Number 2, increase your intimate experiential knowing of God that increases strength and power to do all he says to do. Daniel 11:32 at the very end of that verse is, those who know their God shall do exploits. The entire verse in the Amplified reads, with smooth words of flattery and praise, he will turn to godlessness those who are willing to disregard the Mosaic covenant. That's what's happening in the world right now. There's praise, there's flattery. Those are indicators of the enemy. The enemy will use flattery to entice you to do and to align in places that you normally would not do. Jezebel uses flattery. Don't be lured away. But the people who are spiritually mature and know their God will display strength and take action to resist. The voice says, with smooth talk, he will entice people who act wickedly and break the covenant. But those who truly know their God will remain strong and work against them. Against the enemy. We're going to work against it. We're not going to be passive. The Lord gave me a word the other day of, don't be those that go along to get along. You cannot make peace with the enemy. That word know in that passage is yada, and it is to know intimately as in a marriage. It is to perceive, to discern, to distinguish, to know by experience, to recognize. We need to move into a deeper place of knowing of our God. He is inviting us into a deeper place of intimacy with him. You cannot resist the enemy if you're not intimate with the Lord. To be intimate with the Lord says, you have all the right to see into me. and put your finger on anything you need to put your finger on. And in order to come into a greater place of intimacy with you, I agree, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to repent, and I'm not just going to say I'm sorry, I'm going to change. Because see, to go into, quote, repentance and not change, you have not gone into repentance. To say you're sorry and not make a change of action, you just said you were sorry, it didn't do any good. There has to be a change that comes out of repentance. But get into the place of knowing God. That takes time. That takes being willing to go and just sit in His presence, not go and just pour out all of your complaints, though that's fine to do, and you'll need to do that. But sometimes it's just saying, God, I'm just here to sit with you. I just want to be with you. What do you have to say to me? I want to come into a place of being comfortable enough that if I go sit in His presence and He's silent, I don't get up and leave because I'm bored. Sometimes you just need to sit there and just be with Him. One of the greatest attributes of people that are really close is you can drive down the road and not talk for hours, and you don't have to. And it's not that there's anything wrong. You're just comfortable being together. And then you start talking, and you're both talking the same topic. And you hadn't said anything for hours, but you're on the same topic. That's the kind of intimacy God is looking for. But out of that intimacy, that word strong is translated to do exploits, is to strengthen, to prevail, to be courageous, to be firm, resolute, to prevail, to display strength, to fasten upon. Get yourself fastened upon God. Get yourself fastened upon God's word. Be bound fast to Him. No distance. Be of a firm and fixed determination. I'm determined. See, if you've got a waffling, when things get tough, you'll shrink back in the day of battle. And the only place that strength comes from is intimacy. To display strength is one of the ways it is translated, that word of Chazak, Kazak, C-H-A-Z-A-K. To display strength, to lay hold of, to seize. See, we've got to be willing to seize what God is saying. I want us to be people who know our God. And take action to do exploits for His glory. Number three, out of your firm faith, let peace rise. Because part of what happened this week is our peace got shaken. But see, when you know your God and you can stand in His presence, then peace rises. And I didn't end up putting my scripture here, so just bear with me. See, faith always produces peace because faith says, I know my God, I know who He is, I know what He said. And when you know that, when He is in the boat with you, you can be like Jesus and go to sleep in the boat because you're in peace. If you're looking at the waves, Jesus comes and says, am I not with you? They're upset with Him because He's in peace. We need to be the people in the midst of this that are in total peace. Because the other aspect of peace is when your heart is in perfect peace, stayed upon the Lord, He comes and He speaks truth to you. You will not clearly hear the voice of the Lord if you're not in peace. Because you'll hear all the clamor. You'll hear all this other stuff. But to him whose mind is fixed on the Lord, He will keep them in perfect peace, out of Isaiah. So keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Number four, remain strong, trusting the Lord and believing his prophets. We'll read 2 Chronicles 20, verses 20 through 23. And remember, this is Jehoshaphat. The people of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir have just shown up, and they're all coming up against them as a confederation to take them out. Does that sound familiar? Verse 20, they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will endure." Say endure. It's the only way you're going to endure. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. Verse 21, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithfulness is everlasting." Verse 22, when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were struck down. 23. For the sons of Amnon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, completely destroying them. So two against one, they destroyed them. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Come on. So, in the name of Jesus, we call on the ambushments to go into the enemy's camp to cause them to turn against each other, two against one, and then one against one, and take them out. And when it goes on in this passage, then the people of Judah went in and brought out all the plunder. And so I decree that where the enemy has come in like a flood, like come in against us, we in the power of the name of Jesus are loosing the angelic host to go into their camp, cause confusion to arise, them to be utterly destroyed out of their seats of power, and the people of God, the righteous in this nation, shall go in and take the plunder in Jesus' name. See, we got to have some boldness. We got to send the angelic ambushments out. They're here with us. And see, in the enemy's camp, the enemy is always vying for power. And they will take each other out to try to get power. But that is not the way of the people of God. We trust in God and we believe his prophets. The fifth one, and Randy, y'all can go ahead. I don't know if everybody's doing battle hymn or what. But the fifth point is, behold the glory of the Lord. Trust in the Lord's protection and that he is victorious over all evil. His truth prevails. Listen to a little bit of the story of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And I encourage you, this is but a little bit of the story. There's more available online. And I've had this song on my heart for several weeks. I'll just find myself humming it. And we got a text today on one of the groups I'm in that the words to the Battle Hymn of the Republic were written in a room in the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. It's the hotel I stayed in about 2 weeks ago. It's a gorgeous hotel. It's historic. The words were written in the mid-1800s in the midst of the Civil War. And she had heard the words of the song as it was sung then. And it actually even goes back further than what this particular text gave me. It goes all the way back to Southern camp meetings, revival meetings from the First Great Awakening. The words were then changed, and during the Civil War, the words were sung to John Brown's body. And it was incredible popularity. It was a strong song for the Africans who were coming out of slavery. It carried a sound that released them out of slavery. Praise God. But she heard this sound when she was at this hotel. And she's listening to the words, and she said, there's got to be better words. There was just something that was rising. I mean, she was a poet, and she had been toying with the idea of writing words to make the song something that would be even greater and more encompassing, to give glory to the Lord. And she was in the hotel, and she got up and immediately wrote the words. And one of the accounts that I read said it was almost as if God penned the words through her. They almost adopted it as the national anthem. They sang it for Lincoln. And he said, sing it again. Sing it again. The national hymn first appeared in the Atlantic Monthly magazine in 1862 as a battle song for the Republic. Before long, the entire nation became inspired by her text and united. Hear that word, united, in singing the new words to an old tune. Because see, the first tune was birthed, the first words to the tune were birthed in a time of division. But the nation, as a republic, needed a sound that would bring us together. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. See, God didn't create us to be divided. In 2 Chronicles 7, from 5 to 7, when Solomon has built the temple, and they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant in. And see, for seasons, for years, the Ark had been in David's tabernacle. And the altar of sacrifice had been at Gibeah. And there were two sets of priests. There was a set at Gibeah offering the sacrifices, fulfilling the letter of the law. And there was a group that were assigned to minister to the Lord around the Ark of the Covenant. But in Solomon's temple, there was a bringing together of the two. And it says that the priest came together without regard to division. Because you see, the enemy is always seeking to divide us. He will try to divide us based on our color. He'll try to divide us based on our economic status. He'll try to divide us on our profession. He'll try to divide us in the church. Are we charismatic? Are we evangelical? We're both. We're kingdom. So when we begin to come together without regard to division, to worship and praise the Lord, the glory of the Lord comes. Because it says in 2 Chronicles that when they did that and they brought in the Ark of the Covenant into its place, that the glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord so filled the house that no flesh could stand. I don't know about you. That's what I want. All the other fluff, all the following, I don't care. I simply want the glory. And see, the glory isn't for in here alone. The glory in here is to empower us, to send us out there. Because when we press through the whole establishment of the model that is in the tabernacle and in the temple, and we go past that altar of sacrifice and we say, God, I am yours. I give myself to you as a holy living sacrifice to worship you, to live you, for you, to serve you. My life is not my own. He says, I receive you. We come into an agreement with Christ, the everlasting crucified Lamb of God who has been resurrected. You see, when we come into that place, then he takes us further in and we go to the laver, where in the Old Testament they would have to be washed. See, we're washed by the blood. But do you know we walk in a dirty world? Our feet get dirty. What did Jesus do in the upper room? He washed their feet. Peter said, wash all of me. He goes, I don't need to wash all of you. I just need to wash your feet. What does that say to us? We need to regularly have our feet washed by the washing of the water of the Word. Have our walk cleansed. But this is the other beautiful thing about the laver. When you look down into it, it's made out of the brass mirrors they brought out of Egypt and filled with water, so when you look in it, you see a reflection. But what you and I see when we look into the reflection through the water of the Word is we see not a reflection of our sin, we see a reflection of Christ and who He says we are. See, God's wanting us to come to into a new place of knowing who we are through the finished work of the cross. He wants us to know, I see you, not as you were, but I see you as who I created you to be. I've cleansed you, I've washed you, and I have made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have created you to be who I ordained you to be from the beginning. And you go then from that place of cleansing, and we walk in. The next place in here is the holy place. And the priest, from the place of being cleansed, would put on clean robes. The Lord says, I have clean robes for you. I have the robes of righteousness. That we wear the robes of righteousness and we go into this place with Him. We go into the holy place. And in the holy place, apart from the light of God that is lit by the menorah with the oil of the Holy Spirit, it would be dark. But He says, I bring you into this place so that you might be filled with my oil and ignited with my grace. He wants us burning bright with the light and the glory of the Lord. And see, when we shine and then the light shines through us in the midst of that place and the Holy Spirit brings revelation, it shines on the table of showbread, the Word of God in this place. And when the Holy Spirit shines on it, He brings wisdom and revelation. We begin to see the Word of God in a way we've never seen it before. And one of the very interesting things about this place is the showbread on that table, directly opposite of the lampstand, was sprinkled with frankincense. Frankincense smells fabulous, but it is bitter to the taste. It also has healing in it. But we take then the showbread, the word of God, and yeah, there's times it's going to be bitter in our mouth because God's going to be telling us something we don't want to hear. But we take it and we eat it, and it brings help and wholeness and restoration to us. And then right in the middle, so you've got your lampstand, you've got your table of showbread, and right in the middle, you have the altar of incense. And the incense is the worship and the intercession of the saints. And out of the Holy Spirit and out of the Word of God, we begin to just allow our worship and our intercession, our releasing of the Word that is in us, wed with the Spirit that empowers. And through the blood of Jesus, because of the finished work of the cross, the veil that once separated us from the Holy of Holies is rent. And we walk in to the very place of the presence of God. I see there's a lot of activity in the outer court and in the holy place. But when we come into the Holy of Holies, it's all Him. It's all Him. In that place, He begins to speak. He brings revelation. We get so saturated in Him. And then He says, go. I see, the glorious thing when you've been in the Holy of Holies with Him and He's saturated, when He says go, do you know what you carry with you? The glory of the King. So when you go, you carry glory. See, God's looking for an ecclesia right now that will rise up and say, I have seen the glory. Because when you've seen the glory, you are changed from glory to glory. As one beholding Him. I believe God is releasing the battle hymn of the Republic, the sound of I've seen the glory, into this nation again, as a unifying sound, as a sound of victory, as a sound of hope, as a sound that says, I am not through with this nation yet. As a sound that says, yeah, you've been through gross division, but if you'll fix your eyes on me and you'll behold my glory, I'll heal every breach and I will restore every broken place, and I will bring my word to pass, and you will see the greatest awakening the world has ever seen, and there shall be reformation in the land. Stand with us and let's sing. Do we have the words? I hope.
If you, yeah, if he's, you got would like a copy,
no, he's got them.
I have no idea which
he's got
ones
them.
Are up there.
Yeah.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of His terrible sword. His truth is marching. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
seen him in the watchfires.
I have seen him.
I have seen him in the watchfires. A 100 circling caps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and camps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His chains marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
The breath of fiery gospel writ in burnished scrolls of steel.
As ye deal with my contender's soul in grace,
my grace shall deal.
Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel.
Since God is marching on.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
He has
sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my heart. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
I think we need to go back and do that last verse. The one before the last. It's not the last one, but it's the one he sounded
Let's
for.
Let's do this one and close on this one.
He has sounded for the trumpet that shall never go repeat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet.
Randy, I'm going to call on you to do whatever you need to do next. But I want to give us an opportunity to sow into our future. Sow into what God is saying. Not just for our generation, but for the generations yet to come. Sow into what God wants to do in the young people. The 20s, the 30s, the 40-year-olds. telling you, some of the brightest, strongest leaders fighting right now are under the age of 40 in D.C. They're done with the political system. They're done with the church system. I'm calling them in here. I'm grateful that Aaron is down at the Georgia Senate serving as an intern right now. I'm grateful. She's a watchman on the wall to watch and see what the Lord is doing, but also to watch and see what the enemy's doing. I'm grateful for these young ones rising up on the worship team. I'm grateful that there's a whole bunch of them aren't in here yet, because we need the young warriors. I started out in college ministry with college kids, and they're now all in their 40s and pushing 50. But I'm telling you, there's another group coming. There's another group coming. And I'm going to say to the rest of us that are over 40, 50, 60 and beyond, get your youth renewed like an eagle. Don't look at and say, well, that's not the way I've always done it. No, we're not going to do anything the way we've always done it. We're done. The question that these young adults ask today, and they've been asking, has been, God, if this is all there is, I'm not interested. Do you know who said that as a 15-year-old? I did. I said, God, if this is all there is, I don't want it. But I read your word and it says there's more. So I'm calling us tonight to sow into the more. We're tasting. We're tasting a bit of it. But there's so much more. Let's stand. This is a great song for us to go out on. For CityGate shareholders, once we get through with this song, we will close the service. Then we're going to have a family meeting. So I encourage you to stay so we can just connect and touch base as family after this is done. So let's
No. You've done it now. Gone against the king. Gone against the crowd. Oh, no. You've done it now. Time to feel the fire.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You've done it now. Gone against the king, you've gone against the crowd. Oh, no, you got it now. It's time to feel the fire. Rumors spreading around. How could you think he would stay down? Rumors spreading around. Nothing but a liar. Now, gone against the king, gone against the crowd. Oh no, you've done it now. It's time to feel the fire. Rumors spreading around. How could you think that he would stay down? Rumors spreading around. Nothing but a lie.
That there is no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. And that if you are for us, who can be against us? Lord, secure your people. Guard them. Draw them into deeper places of intimacy. Increase their knowing of you. Let trust and faith arise and peace be established. Let there be a confidence in you and what you have said that is unshakable, immovable, always abounding in the grace of the Lord. Let it be, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.